You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, yesterday, Governor Kristi Noem issued a statement to South Dakota's tribes. She told them to banish Mexican drug cartels from reservation lands. It was a strongly worded statement, and it initiated equally strongly worded reactions from tribal leaders across the state. Our Dakota political junkies are here to offer some analysis into what's going on in the state, as well as some other political stories that have caught our eye this week. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. Kevin Wooster is a veteran South Dakota journalist, and they're both seated around the table in SDPB's Black Hill Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. Kevin Wooster, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Very nice to be here, especially with our buddy Seth.
Seth Tupper, welcome as well.
Thank you. Likewise.
All right, Seth, let's start with you, and let's start with this statement that the governor issued. Now, another tribe has come out and said she's not allowed to come on their land at all because they're upset at how this was worded and what they say are lies and misinformation that was in the statement. Help us get, and we know we could spend a month talking about this, but the context for this statement right now, Seth, what rises to the level of importance to you today?
Well, two things really. You know, I mean, one is obviously nobody who lives in South Dakota is under any illusion that there aren't, you know, some problems on reservations and that need to be dealt with. And you know, tribal members and people who live on reservations are obviously aware of that as well. But, you know, that's been a longstanding issue. And so the question becomes, why is such intense focus right now at this precise moment, you know, that the governor is bringing to this? I mean, Governor Noem got elected to Congress in 2010, and, you know, she's been governor, got elected governor in 2018. You know, I mean, she's been around, and there's been issues on tribes, issues on reservations that whole time. She hasn't seemed to be as intensely focused on it as she is now until this precise moment. And so you have to question, you know, what's the role of politics in this? Governor Noem is, you know, apparently actively seeking to be Donald Trump's running mate, you know, in the presidential race. And we know that Trump has made a lot of the border situation and in his campaign. And this is a way that Governor Noem can tie to that issue and say, you know, Mexican cartels are sending drugs to our reservations and things. So, you know, yesterday's news release, especially, there was really nothing that triggered it. As far as I can tell, it was just she decided to issue a press release and bring this up again. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, you know, what's the motivation? You have to kind of ask.
She cites media reports, and the link leads to an NBC report from February 10th, where they did some coverage on Montana and drug cartel activity there. Kevin, do you see a sense of why now? She certainly says by the end of the release that people are contacting her, they're thanking her. There was a town hall where she talked about corruption in tribal government, which has been a particularly contentious allegations, and the fact that she's implying that somebody in tribal government is benefiting from working with the drug cartel. So there's a lot of incendiary language in that town hall that ABC reported at. What are you thinking rises to the level of what we need to discuss here first, Kevin?
I just want to say, please stop this. I mean, our relationships with the tribes have been so fragile and, you know, so difficult over so many years. And some of the governors have made progress, you know, and this is so harmful to any chance of improving things in our relationship and the needs on the reservation. Be serious about addressing those as well as the governor of a state can do. It's like they got a board in the governor's office, and it's got all these arrows. So, okay, now we're gonna hit this one, and now we're gonna hit this one, and tie this to the border, and we're gonna do that, and. And in the meantime, these people are really suffering because there are terrible problems down there, just as there are problems elsewhere off the reservation with drugs and cartel connections. I assume, and to me it's ridiculous to say banish cartels from the reservation. I called today on Governor Noem to banish cartels from South Dakota. I mean, good luck with both of that. How do you do that? Banish cartels from the United States. I mean, we can be better than this. Our governor can be better than that. And as somebody who's covered governors and known governors and generally respected governors since the early 1970s, it makes me so sad for the damage it does to an important relationship that has been so tortured over the years.
Kevin, talk about what Tim Gallego, longtime newspaper man, might have said. You worked with him a lot over the years. Obviously, he worked with Governor Mickelson. You've covered this for a long time. What would he have said about how language matters in this scenario?
Well, he would have used some language that would have mattered. I'm pretty sure of that in response, because Tim could be pretty sharp-tongued, but tended to direct it, with a reason for it. And this general insinuation that anybody, I mean, you leave it wide open that anybody who happens to be a tribal leader in South Dakota could be connected, more than an insinuation, some are, without any proof, without any presentation of specifics. I just have never seen anything like it in this area.
Seth, what happens next? Because certainly we've seen some pushback already, tribes saying that you cannot come onto their land. What is the path forward for this conversation?
Well, you wonder, when Governor Noem first brought this up, was, if you recall, was in the joint speech she gave to the legislature. She convened the House and Senate during the session, and that was kind of the opening salvo in all this and you wondered at that time, is she going to keep, beating this drum or not? And obviously she's going to, yesterday didn't seem to be any trigger for the news release she put out yesterday. Just seemed to wanted to bring it up again, So I think what's next is it's incumbent on us as journalists, and we're doing some of this work today. We have a reporter, Representative Dusty Johnson happens to be down in Wagner with a roundtable of law enforcement officials from the Yankton Sioux tribe. And, he's down there today, and I we'll ask about this. And I think it's incumbent on us as journalists to say, okay, if she's going to keep up with this river of rhetoric about this and not offer up any sort of, proof or evidence or whatever, it's incumbent on us to get that other side and to talk to people on the reservations, to talk to law enforcement officials, to talk to, people in the federal government who prosecute crimes on reservations, et cetera, and try to bring some facts and analysis to the situation that so far has been driven entirely just by the governor's rhetoric on it.
So there was a time, and both of you remember this, when meth was being cooked in rural South Dakota to a level that was terrifying, and now there have been regulations and crackdowns, and law enforcement officers have worked really hard to keep the supply. But the demand is still here. The demand for methamphetamines, the demand for fentanyl is still here. I'm not hearing much from state government or anyone right now about addressing the demand or the addiction or rehabilitation. Has that gone by the wayside as we find the next person who is making the meth and bringing it to us, the supply side, as you were? Have we forgotten about why some people are using this and how we can help them to decrease the demand? Kevin, anything come to mind there for you?
Well, what comes to mind is when Governor Noem first ran for governor in the primary in a panel discussion, she talked about the importance of addressing that part of it, the drug issue, the treatment and the prevention, and that part of her, if she was elected governor, one of her focuses would be that. And while I think she probably has done some work there, I wish she would turn and focus on that. And I wish she would, instead of these diatribes, she would ask the tribes, how can I help? With, knowing that there are jurisdictional issues involved with how the state gets involved, how can we help you fight this scourge, this horrible thing on your reservation? How? And go in there with a sense of humility. As Governor Mickelson, when he started to work on reconciliation efforts, one of the greatest things, that very large man was a very small ego. And he went to the tribes in a spirit of concession and said humbly, how can we do this better? We've failed so many times. How can we do better? And if she could do that, then we might have the possibility of actually making some progress, hopefully.
I would jump in, Lori. You know, what that makes me think of is just that, but, you know, Governor Noem, this is a new politics that she believes in. You know, we see, I haven't seen her new book yet, but, you know, reading the notes for her new book, which is titled, you know, No Going Back, it's about the fact that she thinks this is the way to do politics, that this is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Being brash, being bold, being confrontational, being inflammatory. And so she thinks that's the way to get results. And so that's the way she's going to do it. And we're seeing it in real time right now. Right.
And with Indigenous people and with tribal leaders, that's the absolute worst approach.
All right, let's pivot to a little bit about what normal times might look like and what the future is in the party. After we pause a moment to just ask, like, are there an incredible amount of trains happening outside your window?
There were, yeah.
The trains are running in rapid today. That's the sound that you hear if you're listening in headphones right now, which I am. All right. Seth, you talked to U.S. Senator John Thune. You did a Q&A that is on South Dakota Searchlight where you really asked him some of these questions, including about Governor Noem's book and the title and No Going Back. So help us understand a little bit about this interview, how it came together, and what you wanted to know about his rise in the national party, as Mitch McConnell says he's not going to run for the, you know, to renew his position as leader in November.
Yeah, ever since that happened, and Senator Thune, you know, was identified obviously immediately as one of the favorites to succeed McConnell in that job, I immediately flashed back to the last election cycle when Senator Thune told numerous people that he was seriously thinking about not running. And so, yeah, I really want to know, how do you get from thinking you want to just quit and go live a quiet life in Sioux Falls to, you know, wanting an even higher job that you might hold for the next 20 years? And so that was interesting. You know, in response to that question, he did say that one of the reasons he decided to run last time was the prospect that, you know, McConnell might retire and the leader job might be open. And I think, you know, he didn't carry that through, but, you know, people always say there are different tracks you can be on in the Senate. Some senators are just running for president constantly, and some senators are there to do, you know, major legislation, and some are on the leadership track. And Thune has clearly been on the leadership track. You know, he's risen through the ranks. And if you're going to put in all that time in the Senate on the leadership track, you might as well stick it out until you can maybe become the leader. And so it was interesting that he kind of acknowledged that was sort of the thing that you know, was the tipping factor in him, you know, deciding to run for reelection and stay. And so I thought that was interesting. And, you know, he had some interesting things to say about Donald Trump in that interview, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I did ask him about Noem's book, because I'm continually fascinated by the fact that, you know, Governor Noem seems to very openly say and do things that are really derogatory towards the way that Senator Thune and Representative Johnson and Senator Rounds do things. And her books seems to, like, it's going to say that she does things a different way and that's a better way. And so there's that sort of tension there among our top elected officials in the state that I wanted to explore a bit. And, you know, in response, Senator Thune just said, you know, hey, we're in sort of a new day in politics, and this is the reality you have to live with. And he just said that for him, he's just trying to stay who he is and try to do the work that he went to Washington to do. And that was kind of it. He didn't engage in criticism of the governor or President Trump, but he also didn't come to their defense either when I asked those questions.
All right, Kevin, South Dakota has been here before with someone in Senate leadership, with the gentleman that Mr. Thune defeated, which is Senator Tom Daschle. There's a symmetry to this leadership track. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there is. It's a little easier for Senator Thune because, you know, Daschle was a Democrat in a Republican state, and even in the years when we made room for Democratic members of Congress, and previous to that a few in the legislature and in the Capitol, a few more than we have, it's still harder for a Democrat to maintain a Democratic leadership position in the Capitol and also get reelected in a Republican state back home. So now that Senator Thune's challenge is not so much what Daschle had. And, you know, they would both say the same thing, that my position as a leader gives me a platform for the state. It gives me an ability to do things for the state. And Tom Daschle did things for South Dakota because of his standing in the Senate and his position there and his power. And John Thune can and likely will if he's elected Republican leader. But it's not quite as complicated for him. His job now is to try and, as Seth touched on, to try and deal with the Trump side of his party. Well, it's more than the Trump side. It's the Trump party with what I would call a reasonable, traditional Republican side that John Thune and Mike Rounds and Dusty Johnson represent, without getting too crossways and getting into a war with the Trump side, the Trump party. And that's complicated in itself. And it's a very revealing, I think, interview that Seth did with him, one of, what, 165 or something?
When I asked for the interview, I think it was a few days after McConnell had announced he was going to quit, and Thune's office told me they had something like 160-some media requests at that point already from across the country for interviews.
But he is smart enough to know, talk to Seth Tupper, talk to some of the local guys too, and I think also cordial enough and has relationship enough with, because John Thune still believes in those kind of relationships, and he also still believes in trying to answer questions as honestly as a politician in his position can.
Yeah.
And I think we all appreciate that.
Let's close with one more topic of the day, and that is that President Joe Biden did not, in fact, cancel Easter. And PolitiFact decided that they need to do some fact-checking on this idea that Governor Noem had put forward, which is that President Biden had said no religious symbols on the Easter eggs, and that was not him at all. Seth, tell me a little bit about what we've learned about Easter in the White House and the Egg Council.
Well, and this is where we're at, isn't it? This is politics these days. Governor Noem had shared some social media posts claiming that, you know, President Biden had basically banned religious symbols from appearing on Easter eggs that were decorated and used in the Easter celebration at the White House. And PolitiFact checked into that and found out that it was kind of funny to read, because, you know, we know about checkoffs and things like that in South Dakota. There's a national egg checkoff, I guess, and there's a national board that has run this event at the White House for 45 years. And because they are sort of tied to the federal government, and they don't allow any one religion to be favored over another, et cetera. And it's been that way for 45 years, PolitiFact reported. So, in fact, you know, President Biden didn't do anything different than has been done for, you know, four plus decades. And so they determined that claim was false. But it just, you know, you just look at these things, and this is where we're at with politics, is we have a governor that wants to pick a fight about Easter eggs at the White House. There's no going back, truly, I guess. Yeah. So.
She wasn't alone. There were other Republicans across the country doing this, you know, playing the same song. It's just, again, I come back to, I feel it's goofy, and it makes you laugh, and it also makes you sad, because, come on, with all the serious problems we have going on, we play this game.
Mm. All right. Well, she's been saying a lot lately, the power of a story. So the power of a story is true, but you have to also include the facts. And hopefully that's what we've done a little bit for you here today. Seth Tupper with South Dakota Searchlight, SouthDakotaSearchlight.com. And Kevin Wooster, thank you so much for being here with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks.